last time we covered the subject from the Ramban, the Nachmanides, about Echad Yachid Umyuchad, one unique and special. And by the way, just to let you know, what excites me is when people come with a lot of questions this week. I'm so happy about it. From the web, from people who came to see me, everybody truly wants to understand it. But what everybody got, it makes me truly happy that within God, within the light, within the divine, there is everything. And it's just as divided, you know, to us, we experience different things. But when we think about God, like as Rosh Hashanah is coming, we want to think of God as Echad Yachid Umiyuchad, one unique and special. Because it's a very, very important to think. Because if we don't think this way, what might happen, we start looking at God, looking at the Creator as good and bad, as up and down, as better and worse. And we don't want to go there, because then you start begging God nicely and you think you're going to get a good deal, or you're going to be upset with yourself, with all kinds of things. But God don't change. The light don't change. The Creator don't change. And that's what's difficult for people to accept, because at that moment you accept it, you cannot manipulate God. It's the same all the time. Okay, so it's very important. So Rav Ashlag now is taking us something deeper, not deeper, easier for us to understand. So you write like this, Utze ulmad, come and study. Come and study. Aman, the manna, in the time of the desert, the Israelites were eating manna. Manna, I don't know if you know what it is, but it was something that fall from heaven in the morning, together with the dawn. So it was dew, I'm sorry, together with the dew. So it was kind of, they describe it in Aramaic, they call it glida. Glida in Aramaic, in Hebrew, means ice cream. So why would they call it ice cream? That's a weird name for a manna. Because it can become any taste you want. It was universal. Any taste you want. That was the manna. But it wasn't a regular bread, meaning it was coming from God, coming from heaven. So, what is it taste like? What do you want it to taste like? So it says, Tzeh ulmad, come and behold and study. For the people in the desert who eat the manna, that aman nikra lechem min hashamayim. We call the manna bread from heaven. Mishum shelo nitgashem mitlapshuto ba'olam hazeh. Why do we call it bread from heaven? Because it was never materialized. It will never manifest itself in the physical world. Everything that's coming into the physical world, you have to try to imagine this physical world with curtain. Let's say there are 7 levels. And once you pass to the 6th chambers or 6th level, and it's enter our universe, it manifests itself, or it materializes itself. It becomes a material form. Okay, your soul, it's not material. But as it came to this universe, it materializes through the sperm and the eggs of your parents and turned into a body. So everything in our universe is a thought that's been materialized. So, Rabbi Chazal, the sages are telling us, Shekol echad v'chad haya toim bo kol ma sheratza. Every person, when they eat the manna, they taste whatever they want. So that means that within the manna was different shape and different taste, and different texture. So within the one manna has everything. Even those shapes that are opposite to one another. One person tastes the manna, it was so sweet. The other person tastes the manna and it was bitter together with spicy. Okay, a mix. The manna itself, the manna itself was include the two opposite together. The manna. Because remember the rules from last week. Would you believe that something can give something it doesn't have inside? You have to remember that rules. Something or somebody cannot give something they don't have inside. You can only give what you have inside. And that one of the things that talented coach, you know, they look at the person, they see the potential, and they bring the potential out. But a good coach, a better coach, also see what you're not capable of. Something that there's no point to push, you know, because I see many people going to motivational lecture, 4,000 people, 3,000, but it doesn't match for everyone. Not everybody who walk into those classes come out successful. The percent are very low. It's about 2%, even 1. So you go in 4,000. They all expect to be rich. They pay for the course about $3,000, $4,000. Then they come back home with cards, business cards, all of them. They usually come end up in my office. And they said, well, I did this, I did this, I did that course. So, okay, what happened? So, well, they call themselves entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. I have so many businesses. 3 cards, businesses. I said, how much each business make? Well, it's a potential. So we can live on potential. So the idea, what I'm trying to say, is many times, you know, a person going to discover themselves, to find themselves, and the idea is to know what you're not also capable of. You're not going to be this or this or that. To know what you're not capable of, that's a very big achievement, huge achievement. Huge achievement, you know? I remember I was coaching one time a tennis player. There's even nightmare, he's a professional. Nightmare, when somebody hit the ball to him, I don't know if you know what it means, it's a backhand, high ball on a backhand. It's not comfortable because the backhand, usually you approach the ball strong, you run into the ball and you hit it. But when it comes high at you, you have to adjust your body. So he had panic attack with that. So I remember I went to his coach, he has a tennis coach working with him from Argentina, and we sat together. And we start, I told him, hit him only to his backhand. I want the entire game he can only do backhand. Because I knew he's capable. But if he wouldn't be capable of that, it's a different story. So you need to know what you're capable of, what you're not be capable of. Going back to the mana. So the mana has 2 opposite tastes. Because somebody cannot give what he doesn't have inside. If you have the backhand, you can give it. If you know how to cook, you can give it. Sometimes people pushing you to something you don't believe you're capable of having. Could be you have it, could be you don't. So how do you know? You go with it. Then you're going to find out. But that's why it's better to risk yourself and do something that illogical a little bit. You cannot just sit there and wait for something to happen. You have to approach. Okay? So what is the great thing about people who have a tough life? Tough life. Nothing works for them. If they not becoming victim and they only becoming humble, because there is a big difference. When life starts healing you, you either become humble or either become a victim. Victim, you complain about your life is not good and you're not wrong. Your life is terrible. But what are you going to do about it? That's the gift of your life is falling apart, is the lesson you have from it. So once you have the lesson from life, then what comes out of you, so you need a coach. The coach takes you, shake you, you know, take the negativity, take the positivity and put you on the path. You can make it. So there is. We cannot be too lazy, but we also cannot push ourselves to do things we are not good at. You know, if you're not good, you're not good. It's not going to be like stop trying to become working for NASA. I don't think I want to work for NASA. It's not my thing. I don't want to. I don't think I want to be a capitan on a ship going to Italy. It's not my thing. You know, I don't want to iron clothes. Not my thing. I try. Not my thing. So there is things that we need to understand what we're good at, what we're capable, what we're not capable, you know? And if you recognize that, it's very important. So that's what it means. Everybody can give only what they have inside. If you don't have it inside, you cannot give it. V'im ken, איך אפשר שיהיו בתווכים בנושא אחד? How can that be? It will be two opposite in one subject. אל על כוחך. The way you will understand it, that when something tastes a certain way, it just was taken away from something that's been included. So you're taking like the mana, and you take a piece and you taste sweet. Your brother take a piece and taste bitter. Another person take a piece and take sour, same piece. Now, rakalulu me'em. The receiver was already physical. The receiver was already materialized itself. We are called materialized human beings. We are here. We are physical. We are the one that start making the difference from something which is universal. So when you go into universal plan of God, whatever you think God is for you, God is for you. So the belief system, as a faith or as people try to push you to believe in God in a certain way, you know, it helped a little bit in the beginning. But it cannot be you believe in God on through the eyes of the priest or the rabbi or the teacher. You got to find your own relationship with God. There's nothing make God more happy if you have a relationship with him. You know? It's not, okay, let me call my rabbi, let me call my priest, let me call my guru. Very nice. But think about from the creator point of view, the way you have a relationship, that's your way. There's no mistake in a relationship if you want to connect. All connections are welcome. All connections are welcome. You know? Now, the idea, the receiver is tasting whatever you want. But there's a tavid called the Varuchani. Now you understand spirituality. Avashak said, if you understand that, now you start to understand spirituality. That God, the creator, is unique and simple. But it's included all the texture, all the taste, all the flavors is included. But when it's coming, when spirituality or God or food or the manna come to the individual receiver who is limited, remember, who is limited, who is in frame, then what end up happening, we are limited. Then the receiver is chopping the whole 100 flavor into one flavor. Because we can only taste sweet, or we can only taste bitter. So what type of life you have today? What type of life you have this year? What type of life you have this week? You say sweet. Well, for other people, they have no food to eat. I have a great year, make a lot of money. Other people lost a lot of money. How can that be? It's the same year, it's the same day, it's the same month. You cannot tell me astrology. That's why people tell me, astrology, I love it. I said, astrology will give you only 21%. You can trust it till 21 is the maximum. You go beyond 21%, you already worship it. The astrology, you're no longer using it. You need to use astrology. The Talmud says in Masechet Shabbat, use astrology. But don't use it too much. I hear people, spiritual people say, what sign are you? What this? I like it. It's okay. But then go this. Oh, of course. It's Pisces. Oh, it's Leo. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's this. It's too much. That's too much. That's, you know, you're losing your spirituality. Spirituality is the main thing. Astrology is a support. A palm reading, support. Face it, support. All of this is additional that you need to add. It's a very, very powerful tool. But it cannot be everything. You know, and I've been a reader, you know, for as far as I know myself, since age 17. And I'm telling you. And that's why I love to teach it to people. So they know how many things change every day. In your hand, in your face. Astrology, I used to do astrology when it used to be with a pencil, with a, what do you call it, the thing that makes circle. What do you call that thing? Huh? Compass, that's called? Compass? Protector?
Protractor.
Yeah. So I did all of it. I'm telling you, you need to find the creator and you need to find yourself. That's the most important thing I tell all my students. You got to start developing yourself spiritually. There's no cheating. There's no shortcut to knowing your rising sign and what's going to happen to you in 2017 and 18. Yes, there is thing. And I can tell you a site on the internet that will tell you more details about the house and the sign. It's wonderful to read. Who doesn't want to hear about himself? That's why it sells so well, right? Who doesn't want to hear about himself, right? You know, you go to psychic, you go to this, it's great. But got to be a limit. Got to be a limit. Got to be a limit. And that limit is, got to be spiritual, and then the reading will help you. But first, spirituality. So it says spirituality become when you understand that the receiver is the one who chop life into their own translation of what life is. So, story, gentleman, successful, looking for new job, let's say, okay? Story that came into my office, on my desk. He's looking for the job, but he cannot find the job. Seemed like a bad news. His desire is to get the job. His result is not getting the job. It's a bad news. That's what he experienced. It's bitter. Is it bitter? What if the job that he will get in 6 months from now will be the nightmare of his life? And he will not be able to get out of it because he's a good guy. So he want to make sure that everybody's been safe and everybody doing good money and everybody doing okay. Then he gets stuck there for 10 years. But he's not getting to his potential. So it's basically the point. So the idea is, it's so dangerous because what we experience is not all the time, but the reality. And that's why we have to be spiritual and understand, okay, what I'm tasting is bitter. Is it really bitter? Or is it my experience bitter? What am I tasting is sweet. Is it sweet? Or is it my experience is sweet? My father, may rest in peace, used to, he wasn't into religion or spirituality that much, but wise man. So he used to tell me, everything in life is relative. He was very big on the relative of Albert Einstein and this and that. Smart man, always want to teach him, but not teach, alone. So he said to me, when you're in love, even a can, a trash can, he used to tell me, going down the stairs sound like Mozart. It sounds so beautiful. But I'm telling you, when you're disappointed and somebody break your heart, even if Chopin or Mozart, sound like a garbage truck passing by your house. My father. So everything is relative. But it's cute, right? I mean, my father will tell me this. Like, what you experience is not necessarily what's going on. It's you are chopping it according to your situation. אז יעשה פה בקבל צורות נבדלה, מכלל ריבוי הצורות, המתייחדות במהות הרוחנית ההיא. ולפי זה יש להבחין תמיד בהשפעתו, התברך בית בחינות. That's what we have to divide, or to find two things, when we talk about the creator. One, היא צורת מהות השפע העליונה, תרם בית על הקבלה שעדיין, היא אור פשוט וכולל. First, you need to know, how is it the light, the simple light that coming from the creator, what is it exactly? Before it's been received, before it's been divided, before it was limited, before it was materialized. What is it? Before it's come to the receiver. Second, is after that influence, that's amazing things, that light, that blessing, come into a receiver, because now it took a shape based on the personality of the receiver. So when we talk about light, there is light that is before arrive here, and there is a light that already been took a shape. For example, table is basically amount of light that took in a shape of a table. Human, shape of a human, light. So basically we are surrounded by receivers. We are surrounded by a receiver. You're going to drive on a highway. Those are a bunch of receivers on the highway. Everybody receives the light in a different way. One have a bad day, one like rock and roll, one like rap, all different receivers, all different connections. Now try to imagine, this is very hard on the brain, that those wire of everybody is one, that's God, by the way. You just experience God. The brain cannot capture it. All the music together, all the pain, the good, the thing, everything exists in the world. And one thing, that's called God. But we cannot, the brain can't. We can't. To understand that, you chop it. You want to understand something, you chop it. If you ever went on a professional photography, for example, those expensive photography, when you take a picture and focus, you have to lose everything to focus on the thing you want. You have to chop everything to get that item. I used to like to do black and white picture. I used to have a camera. So I used to take the camera and do black and white old shoes or old things in the street. Love it. And the idea is I had to focus. And I need the right light. And I need not the light of the sun, or I didn't have instruments. So, and where am I standing in the shadow? So beautiful. But the idea, what I'm saying, I'm chopping it from the universe. That's what a picture is. What do you think a picture is? Picture means you separate item from the ultimate. What do you think pictures? That's what you think. What do you enjoy the most? What do you enjoy the most? Separation. What do you enjoy? You think you enjoy unity? People talk about unity. If there is something that Debbie knows that upset me the most, and people screaming unity and unity and unity. And I said unity is the song of the heart, is the song of the soul. It's not supposed to be verbalized. You have to act on it. You can't talk so much about unity. Can't. How much can I say unity? When people start to teach me and preach with unity, I'm worried because I know there is a problem going to happen. Unity is it's an ultimate goal. It's God goal. It's God is unity. That's where unity. But we are separate separation. You go to the beach. What do you enjoy the most? That there is a beach and a sand. That's a separation. It will give you joy. You know, if a person I had 5 guys who come to do coaching with me about relationship for 3 hours. We had a good time. So it's funny. We had funny, but the one of the questions they ask, I cannot mention, but I can mention part of it. So they, because I say something about it, maybe you will understand what they ask. So I said to them, listen, if you go to the beach and there is 1,000 beautiful women, how much are you going to appreciate those 1,000 women? You're not even going to see it. They agree. They start waking up. And what I'm trying to say by that, when you are one thing that look all the same, you're not capable any longer to separate things. So I hope I'm not losing you. So whenever you have fulfillment, that's when you are no longer separate. So unity is when everybody gets fulfilled. Everybody has money. Everybody has success. Everybody is healthy. Everybody's happy, you know? But the way we look at life, it's a separation. It's a very sad. It is very hard to get out of it. And when Moses took the Israelites to the desert, basically what happened in the desert? In the desert, unity took a place, you know? In the desert, it was unity. So what is really unity? The capability of connecting to God in a way that there is no separation. But to get to no separation, as the Rav Ashlag explained here, is the light before it manifests itself, materializes itself into the physical world, it was one. But after that, you chop it. And when you chop it, you only can experience it according to where you are. You cannot experience really the light. You're experiencing yourself experiencing the light. And that's why when people think about unity, it's impossible. You all separate. We all separate. You know, you see the color blue because you see another color next to it. You know, today, chef, talking about how to design the plate. I don't know if you know that if you go to a restaurant, there is a design of color. You need to know. Red and green is the number one thing. Always red and green. That's how they capture your eyes, by the way. You're going to put red and green, your eyes will get it right away. So the design of everything is a separation. Our eyes is connected to separation, and that's why we follow it, because we're addicted to separation. Because if it's not separated, you know what it is? It's one. And if it's one, can't see it. Can't see it, it disappears. If the whole world was in one color, impossible. Impossible. I never told you this. I used to babysit. You know, I used to babysit. My nightmare job. And people asked me one time, and I was single and young, and I did it. The problem, 2 of the kids didn't want to sleep. So I told them a story. And then the kids fall in love with me. That's not a good thing when you're single. And the kids come to the parents and we want them again. So no, I'm not doing it again. It was a volunteering job. I said, no, I'm not doing it again. It was 2 time. Goodbye. No, what did you tell my children about the blue man? I told them that the whole world is blue because they didn't want to sleep. So I said, if I choose the color blue, I said, blue tree, blue sky, blue car, do that. And I'm just to put them, they don't want to go to sleep. So then the kids tell the other kids, and then another family. And then I'm finding myself telling like this story for children in the kitchen on Shabbat morning, Saturday morning. I say, hello, kids. And the blue man, the green man, we need. And it was like, and those days I didn't have children, so I didn't have a relationship to that. So I didn't feel comfortable with children like touching my new shirt or chocolate. So when I, or let's say a baby, I say, hey, how you doing? You know, from far. So, but when I told the kids the story that everything is one, it was shocking how they took it. And say, so, oh my God, was the car blue? Was the wheel of the car? Yeah, blue. What about the road? Blue as well. So one of the things that the kids start to imagine, how do you see it if it's all the same color? So that's why Rav Ashlag is telling us we experience things and separate things based on us, not based on the light. The light itself is echad yachid u miyuchad, one, unique, and special. has within it every possible thing. The good, the bad, the punishment, the reward, everything that you experience, the light has it in it. But you choose how to experience the light. The light is don't change. We are experiencing the light like that. ובזה נבוא להבין, and that's why we come to understand, מה שאמרו המקובלים, what the Kabbalists used to say, about the soul, and that's what they say, about the soul. אשר הנשמה היא חלק אלוקה ממעל. The soul is one of the part of God from above. Your soul is part of God above. ואין בה שום שינוי. There is no change between the soul and God. Can you imagine? The Kabbalists is teaching us that your soul is actually God, but it's a part of God. The only change or different, your neshama is klal min hakol, ela mamash haneshama hi chelek velo kol. God is everything, and our soul is part of the everything. God is the everything, and our soul is part of that everything. Can you imagine if we bring unity among people? We are God. It's crazy, right? That's why when you go to concert, like big concert, that there is like a lot of people. I don't know if you ever went to something big, like 500,000 people, like Paul Simon, you know, and his partner, I cannot even say, Grand Fugler, what is his name? Yeah, Art. You know, they brought 500,000 people. Yeah, they did. If you ever go to a show, even 100,000, it's a lot. So you go to a show like this, there is a feeling. There's something going on. Even if you go to a basketball game or to a football game, people are in one soul on something. There's something going on. There's a magic. Something happening. Can you imagine if we can do it, music and spirituality? Can you imagine that? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So you say, we are part of the everything, and everything is equal to God. V'domeh le'evan. How can you imagine it, say Rav Ashlag? Imagine it like a stone being chopped from the mountain. Can you imagine? You have a piece of rock being chopped. That stone that being chopped away from the mountain, was cut away, yes? שמהות ההר ומהות האבן שוות. If you check the stone and you check the mountain, they're made from the same material. There is no difference between the mountain and the stone. ואין שום מבחן בין האבן להר. There is no difference between the stone and the mountain. רק בזה שהאבן היא רק חלק מן ההר. The only difference is the stone is one part of the mountain and the mountain is the everything. That's what the sages thousands of years ago tell us. If you want to understand the creator, that's what you need to study, this part. To understand, that's what creator. So the creator is everything, like we spoke before. Right? Everybody is experienced the creator in a different way. So when people tell you that's the way I experience, that's true. That's the way you experience, that's true too. Everybody is true. That's what you experience. Now, a coach or a spiritual guy, what I do is to help my people to discover a new way, to see another way that you can connect. And when they open through the study, only through the study, you cannot come up with just my idea. You have to be through the study, give it to the student, then they open their eyes and say, oh my God, wow, I feel the creator in a different way of feeling the creator. You know, it's very important. לכאורה הם דברים מפיעים בתכלית. I wonder about what those sages say, say Rav Ashlag. ביותר קשה להבין. I have a hard time understanding it. Rav Ashlag writing it. I have a hard time to deal with it. איך ייתכן? How can you say that? Now, this is was saying more than 2,000 years ago. Rav Ashlag wrote it in 1922. And you know, Rav Ashlag was, the way he write Torah and Kabbalah, it's more going on a philosophical argument side and bring all the doubts out. Like against of everything that I'm sure they teach you and teach me, doubt is bad. According to Rav Ashlag's study, without doubts, you're never going to grow. You doubt everything. But with question, doubt. When you study Talmud, you never had the chance to study Talmud. Everything starts with doubts. Everything starts with question and doubts. When you break the doubts, you have the answer. It's almost like eating nuts. You break through the nut. Okay? So you say, how can that be? How can that be? איך ייתכן? How can you say that? בחינת הבדל וחלק מהאלוקיות עד לדמות. How can you say that we are part of God? I mean, we are physical. We are materialized. We cannot be like God. לאבן הנחצבת מהר, שבשל מה אבן? נחצבת מהר לדגרזן, מקבט. He say, how can you even imagine God into a mountain? God is like the endless option of everything. A mountain, it's just a solid thing. And how can you even use that example? That you take an ox or hammer and you chop a piece of stone from the mountain. How can you talk about God this way? And how do you separate in our life? How did I separate from the mountain as a soul? How did I separate from God? I love when Rav Ash like bring it, convince you that that's right. And then he doubts the whole thing. This is so beautiful. It's so, for me, it's like, it's that's truth. If you want to ask me what is truth, when a teacher like Rav Ash like is capable of putting it the way it is, we have a problem. Love it. I just love that style. This is what they say. This is ultimate truth. And I have a hard time with that. Now, what do? Let's go to the middle. And he starts solving it for you. So healthy. It's a healthy study. Before we will go into clarification, we need to understand how do we separate stone from the mountain in spirituality. We know in spirituality the only way you can separate, the only way we can change, or the only way there is a difference in shape, is שינוי הצורה בלבד, דהיינו אם דבר רוחני אחד קונה בעצמו שתי צורות, כבר אינו אחד אלא שתיים. Meaning, in spirituality, if one thing turn into two, okay? Turn into two, meaning one shape, turn into two shape, then it's no longer one, it becoming two, it changed, the changed form. I will explain it. ואסביר לך. בנפש בדעת השם גם כן רוחניים, the soul of human, which are also spiritual, ונדה החוק הרוחני אשר צורתו פשוטה כאן, על ידי ודאי, שיש ריבוי נפשות כמספר הגופות של נפשות מהירות מהן. עכשיו אני אפשר לזמן על ידי שינוי הצורה של כל אחד ואחד. So, people have soul within them. And he continue. כשם שפרצופיהם אינם שווים זה לזה, כך דעותיהם אינם דומות לזה לזה. The same that their face are different from each other. If you look at people's faces, some people have the hobby to look at people's faces. They love it. Sitting in a cafe, drinking some espresso. Okay? And you look at people passing by, see their shoes, their bag, their face, their nose, and again, and again, and again. Why? Because we're into separation. How is that image separate from the other image, and how is this image separate from the old picture? It's called view. That's what we're addicted to. It. We're addicted to separation. ויש בסגולת הגוף להבדיל בצורות הנפשות, עד להבחין בכל נפש, לפי עצמה שזו עולה טובה, זו אפשרה, וכדומה בצורות הנבדלות. So we know people have different opinion, different face, different look, different idea, and there is even a way that just by looking at a person, you would know where they belong, bad, good, exciting, not exciting. So here you see that the same as physical thing, מתחלק ולכתר ונדל בגרזן את נועם בהחלקת מקום מחלק לחלק, כמו כן דבר רוחני, מתחלק ולכתר ונדל מסיבת שינוי הצורה. The same thing that you chop a stone from the mountain and it's basically separate from the mountain, it's a different entity. The same thing happens in spirituality, but it doesn't happen physical. It happens by changing of form. Changing of form means that you add something to it. So for example, if I have one candle and with the one candle I light another two candles, now those two candles are changing of form. The first candle still exists. So where is the fire came from to the two candles? From the first candle. Now the first candle don't miss anything. But the two candles just been created. So the change of form is how is this fire of one flame turned into two flame. So this one candle turned into two candles, but the one candle is still not been missing. That's called changing of form. The same thing happened in spirituality, says Rav Ashlag. ולפי השיעור של ההשתנות, כאשר מחלק מחלק לחלק, זכור זאת היטב. As far as something changed from the original form, that's called spiritual distance. Okay? Spiritual distance. So again, let's summarize. Physical change is obvious. You chop a piece from the mountain, and now there is a distance between the small to the big. Spiritual is changing of form. Now, changing of form is not a physical thing. I use the candle just as an example. Changing of form that, for example, as we study about the Sefirot, that something comes from Keter to Chokhmah. From Chokhmah become Bina. From Bina become chesed. Okay, so go all the way down to malchut. So what is the distance from keter to malchut? A long distance. But actually there is no physical distance there. The only distance that exists is a different form. Because malchut is all about receiving, and keter is all about giving. It's very different. So wherever there is this affinity in spirituality, there is distance. But it's not the physical distance like we know it. Okay, so it's very, very important. Remember, he didn't answer yet his doubts and his question. We are going to go back there. But first, he created a foundation. The foundation in Kabbalah is a very important thing. The foundation in spirituality is a very important thing. Because you might study something and you think you got it, then you lose it. So that's why he prepared for first a foundation. Okay? Remember, his doubt was, how can we compare spirituality into a mountain and a stone? That's what it's about. Questions so far before I continue? Don't be shy to stop me. Hey, we didn't finish it. אמנם עדיין לא נחלנו אלא בעולם הזה ולפשע בן אדם, אבל בדבר הנשמה שברו שהיא חלק כל הכל, לא נתבהר איך היא נבדלת מאלוקיות. עד שהיא תחלק אותה חלק אלוקי. ואין לומר על ידי שינוי הצורה, עד אחד זה שלום לומר כן. כבר ביררנו שהלוקיות היא אור פשוט. So, רב אשלג. How can we say that there is a change in creation compared to the endless? Meaning, we understand in physicality there is change, there is separation, we understand. But when we talk about the creator and the soul, both of them are not physical. How can we send even a changing of form in that level? Second thing, how can we call the soul part of God? Then Lomar, and we should, and it's not what it say that through that change of form, because God forbid to even speak like that, because we explained that God and the light of God and the light of the endless is a simple light that has everything in it. We already say that within the Creator, there is everything. Everything is there. So how can we even think that there is a separation of one thing getting out of it? If you say that everything is there one, like we studied last week, echad yachid u'miyuchad, one unique and special, meaning God is like the manna, is all the flavor, all the taste, all the motivation, all the ups and downs, everything is included in one thing. And now you come and tell me that the soul is part of that everything. If you said that the soul is part of everything, is your create a separation, but the endless doesn't have a separation. ובאמת קושייה זו נוהגת ביותר. Say, I agree, Rav Ashlag. This hard question is a difficult one. He asked the question and he is about to answer. But first, he wants you to know that if you went through a struggling while I was talking, while you, hopefully you will listen to it again because it's a tough lecture a little bit tonight. It's a lot of information. So if you find it tough, makes sense, Rav Ashlag. And how do we deal with it? We're talking about the light before the Tzimtzum. We're talking about the light before the contraction. כי זו המציאות שלפנינו כל העולמות העליונים ותחתונים יחד נבחנים בשתי הבחנות. And because of this, we have to look at it in two ways. One way, הבחן א', היא צורה כל המציאות הזאת איך שהיא בטרם הצמצום, שהכל היה אז בלי גבול, בלי סוף, והבחן הזה נקרא אור אין סוף ברוך הוא. First level of your brain understanding need to be. Everything before the Tzimtzum, before the contraction, before the limitation, that before the Tzimtzum, everything was no limitation, no end, that's what's called endless. And we call that concept, Or En Sof Baruch Hu, light of the endless, blessed be He. So when we say endless light, blessed be He, we are relating to before the Tzimtzum. So everything was unlimited. הבחן ב', second way of looking at it, הוא צורת כל המציאות הזו שכבר באה מהצמצום ולמטה. Is to look at everything after the צמצום, after the contraction. Look in a different way. Because now, everything is with limitation, everything is with measurement. And this we call דלת העולמות. We call it four worlds, four universes if you wish, אצילות, בריאה, יצירה ועשייה. Emanation, creation, formation, and action. So now, we have two ways always to look at life. Not just in Kabbalah. Is that the endless light is everything. After the Tzimtzum, that endless light now is shaping itself, the same endless light, into four categories. Not because the light changed. It's because the category that been receiving the light are different. Yes? The receiver is the one that put the shape on the light. Not the giver. The light never changed. Is the light in Atzilut different? Is the light in emanation different? It's the same light. Same light. Same light in Bria. Same light in Yetzirah. Same light in Asiyah. Same light everywhere. Is the light that drive an evil man and drive a righteous man the same light? Same light. Nothing changed. The killer and the righteous, same light. Difficult. Because the brain of a human being want to make a separation. Bad and good. Good and bad. Evil and wonderful. Can't. The brain cannot take it. It's very difficult. So that's why we have two levels of understanding the light before the Tzimtzum, endless, no separation, after the Tzimtzum. V'nodah, שבעצמותו התברך להתפרשה בתפיסה כלל וכלל. We know, and he repeated many times, Rav Ashlag, in the essence of God, in the essence of the Creator, I should say, it's called עצמותו, עצמותו, essence of the Creator. Remember, there is Creator, second level of the Creator is עצמותו, essence. Creator is number one, we don't know nothing about it. Below that essence of the Creator, we also don't know nothing about it. Nothing. After Atzmuto, starts come the endless light. We also don't know about it, nothing, but we know one thing. It's no end there. That's the only one info we have. There is no end in the endless light. That's what it's called, endless light. And then after the Tzimtzum, then we know, because we capture it. Yes?
If we don't know anything, how do we know it's there?
We don't give it a name. We don't give it a name. We call it Creator. We know something that create everything, Creator. Then we know the essence of the Creator. How do we learn about the essence? From the light of the endless that comes from the essence. What is the light that comes from the essence? We know one thing about it. There is no end, and it's a giving thing. So we experience things, but we have no, never. The brain can never capture Creator, what it is. We cannot. The brain can go, like, what is this? So you say, please remember, בעצמותו יתברך, that in עצמותו, in the essence, לית מחשבה תפיסה בכלל וכלל. No thought or brain can capture it. That's written by Rabbi Shimon, by the way. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, write it in the Tikkuni Zohar. He write it. That no mind can capture it. Because once you capture it, it's no longer unlimited. Yeah? Whatever been captured, it's no longer unlimited. Do you understand what I'm saying? You separate, but then you can see it. It's a very beautiful, if you play it with your brain in a philosophical way even, it's a very beautiful, like, once you not controlling something, it's not yours. It's part of the view. Right? Once you take it from the view, it's yours. But it's no longer in the view. You know that? It's a moment. You have a moment there. Maybe that's why people like fishing. They go, take one fish out of the ocean. Now the ocean has one fish missing, right? So it looks different now. Yeah. And like you asked, immediately he mentioned that, שכל מה שלא נשיג, איך נגדירו בשם? Whatever we cannot understand, how can we give it a name? Like you say, how we can, it's exactly, you see? שכל שם עניין לא השגה, שמורה שמושג לנו בחינת השם הזה. So he said, we don't have a name for the Creator or the essence. We just know that that's what it is there, but we don't have a real info. If it's in the endless, there is no change. In the endless, there is no... So of course, in the essence and in the Creator, there is never change. So what is the name? Like Adonai, Elohim, what is those names? So when people say the word God, this is only the light that comes from the essence that comes from the Creator. It's way far. So the word God for people, believe in God. No, believe in God is third level down and below. Elohim is very far down. So just to let you know, like, it's a shocking how much people don't know. Shocking. People can follow religion and they have no clue. So if you want to talk to the ultimate, like the number one, it's called creator. The creator. How do you say it in Hebrew? Bore. Now you know, Bore, Pri Hagefen. Bore, meaning all the blessing has Bore in them. All the blessing we do has Bore, but people don't know what they say because, you know, I'm Israeli, we say it fast, we don't have time to think. Just if you stop it everywhere, say, oh my God. This is actually, I'm talking to the Bore, I'm talking to the original. Just by doing on wine, Bore, Pri Hagefen. So what are you doing with the wine when you do that? You connect the wine before it was materialized. You connect it to the original, before it was grapes or alcohol or liquid. What was it? It was an energy. Again, I don't want to talk physics now. To break it into quartum, the quart, you know, like the energy, like in the atoms. It's basically, what is it? That's the creator. But we can. The only movie that the people used to study with us was the first writer of Matrix 1. I don't know if you ever saw Matrix. So the 2 and 3 didn't study with us, but the one who studied TLE, Talmud HaSefirot, was the writer of the two writer of the first movie. And if you hear it in the movie, there is many, many things. You try to see it again now after you study, then you will see how much you will understand it. There is a part there when you say, I know it's an illusion, what I'm eating. It is an illusion. But I enjoy the illusion. I know it's separate from the all, but I enjoy it. You know, it's kind of interesting. Like, who wants non-separate? If I give you to the universe of non-separate, you will suffer. Because there's nothing going on. You understand? So, in the creator, nothing happening. But it's everything comes from there. The brain have a tough time with that. So, it's saying, all the name of God is only in the light that coming from the essence. From the endless. אשר התפשטות אורו יתברך מטרם צירו שאתה ממלאת כל המציאות בלי גבול וזאת, גם שבן סוף ברוך הוא. We don't have a name for the light that happened before the limitation. The only name we have to that light that comes before limitation, we call it endless light. But it's not really we know what it is. We just tell you what it is. But we don't know what it, you know, we give it a name, we know it's endless and we know it's light. But we don't know how it works. You understand? So, the brain of a human being didn't capture yet that aspect. So you know when you say endless light, at least stop to understand what you're actually saying. At least it's צריך להבין במה שאור, and so ברוך הוא מוגדר לעצמו. Now we understand what the endless light is being named. ויצא בכלל עצמותו, so it left the עצמותו, it left the essence, until we can give it a name. Until we give it a name. So, now it's difficult. Why is it difficult? Because he tried to bring us into how can the soul can be part of God. Remember where he's going. It's 1.5 pages. He didn't answer what he wants us to know. How can we tell that the soul coming from, it's a part of the creator. It's like a stone that's part of the mountain. Remember, that's what he's going for. So what he did for us is only foundation. That's what Rav Ashlag is all about. It's unique and so amazing. It's so special. That's Rav Ashlag. He's capable of not just answering questions. He said, if I answer the question, I can answer it, but there is no value. So first I will make a foundation. You will understand that. Then I answer you, you have a value. That's beautiful about Rav Ashlag. So you say, we still didn't answer. So, I don't think we're going to finish the answer tonight because it's kind of a few more pages. But at least we can start. So, להבין, to understand, מאפס מה במקום גבוה זה צריכים להרחיב הדברים. And if we want to understand truly, we need to talk more about this subject. ונחקור, and we have to investigate. בקוטב כל זו המצוות של הפנינו, we have to investigate everything going on in our life, ותכליתה, and our purpose, and the purpose of this universe. הכללית, the general idea, שכלום יש לך פועל בלי תכלית, you're never going to find a human being who do something for no reason. Everybody, human being, knew there's a reason. The same thing this universe operates. The universe operates with reason. We not always see the reason, but there is always reason. So what is the purpose of God, the Creator, us, זו מהי של סיפתה המציא את בר את כל המציאות, זה שופנו, I'm sorry to ask, it's almost like, it's almost seemed like a doubter, like a person, like a atheist. He say, I have to ask it. I love his language. What is then the reason that blessed be he, the creator, the essence, invented all this existence in front of us? What is this? What is this all about? Simple question, right? בעולמות העליונים, in the upper world, in the lower world, בעולמות התחתונים, אמנם, כן, כבר הורו לנו חזל, sages already told us in the last 3,000 years, בהרבה מקומות, שכל העולמות כולם לא נבראו בשביל ישראל, הם קמים תורה ומצוות. They say, many places we find in the Talmud, in the Torah, that the universe were created for people to act with Torah and mitzvot. If I translate it to simple language, Torah means study of spirituality, mitzvot means doing spirituality. So it, you can call it good deed together with study of spirituality. So the sages say the entire purpose of the universe, and it might sound religious if you don't know what it means, is to study spirituality and to act in a spiritual way. Two things. וזה מפורסם. אלא צריך להבין בזה בקושי של חזל שקשור על זה, עם הכוונה שברית אמרה בשביל ליהנות לנבריו. He said, okay, it's known that that's what they say, but he raised another question. If the whole purpose of creation of the world is to give pleasure to his creature, אם כך, מה היה לו דבר לפרות העולם הזה כשפיע? הקורם על יסורים. So why are you creating such a terrible universe? So much doubt, huh? So much doubt. And I know, it's like, spiritual person with no doubts is not spiritual. Look, I mean, you think you can even dare to talk about God like that? He dare, because he loves God so much. People who are not there to have doubts is because they have doubts. If you put your doubts on the table, listen, I don't get it. The most beautiful people that I met, that I am trying to be an example when I go to places, I'm asking questions like a kid. I don't know anything about the place, even if I know things. I will ask 1,000 questions, and a person has the pleasure to explain to me, and then I start helping, because I know now what's going on. But a person has to be in a place of doubts. So if God wants to create something so beautiful, and he wants to give only great things for his creature, why do you create the universe like that, which is dirty, which is materialized, all about materialism, and all about suffering? ובלי זה ודאי שהיה יכול להנות לנשמות כמה שרוצה. If God just want to give us some joy, so easy. Just create a great universe and give us joy. Connect us to that IV that just give joy. Enough. Great. כביכול. למה הביא את הנשמה בגוף הפוקר בסוף הזה? Why are you bringing the soul, which you say is part of God, into a dirty body that need to go to toilet and shower and eating? And what is this? This body is dirty. This body, you need to know, right? I mean, you know. The body is selfish. is a bubble of selfishness. That's what our body is, by the way. The entire body is pure selfishness, 100%, not 99. 100% selfish. Don't even doubt it. Your soul has potential to be 100% non-selfish. But the body cannot change. That's why it died. That's why you bury the body. Thank you, I use you. Now go to the grave. Then the soul go back to the God, wherever it came from. But the body is like just a car. Why you have to keep it healthy? Because that's longer time with the soul being tested. The soul being tested to work with the body. And that's why in Rosh Hashanah, you ask for the soul and you ask for the body. You ask for two things in Rosh Hashanah. You ask for the soul to make it spiritual and for the body to stay alive. And you ask God, please give my body a life, long life, because I need to do the work, please. Well, it's a very, very important. So why would God put it in that body? Petrzu, the way the sages explain, the man, the achil, the love, the li, be aid, li, starklu, be ape. So when you go to eat somewhere, and you didn't eat for a while, and somebody have you as a guest, and they're giving you food, then they're serving you, you cannot look into their face. You start being embarrassed. I hope you all suffer from that. That's a normal thing to have, okay? So you're eating, you're taking it, you start feeling uncomfortable because you're taking and they're giving. Pirush, now translation. בכל מתנת חינם, every time you receive a free gift, נמצא פגם של בושת פנים. There is a damage of making you ashamed. Now you know where it's going, right? Now you know where the bread of shame came from. I'm giving you the original, how the word bread of shame was established 3,000 years ago. So, every time you receive a free gift, you start having a shame on your face. וכדי למנוע מהנשמות הפגם הזה, so to prevent the soul from going to shame, ברא את העולם הזה. God decided to give you this universe called pain and suffering. שישנה כאן בצעות של עבודה. There is an existence of work. ונמצאו נהנים לעתיד דרגי הכפיהם. And you get the illusion, remember it's an illusion, that you can actually earn what you're doing. Because from God's point of view, come on, give them the gift already, come on. So the angel said, but they will be embarrassed if you give it to them for free. So okay, give every gift, come with it, let's say 200 suffering. So okay, 200 suffering, you call the gift, okay, that's not bad. So they will feel like they're earning it. They have some ego. So don't ever believe you earn anything in this universe. It's a joke, it's a lie. It's an illusion. Even the bread of shame is an illusion. The bread of shame is just a gift from God to make you suffer enough so you don't feel bad when your life is going good. That's it. That's what it is. So every pain you have is just because the gift in your life will be able to enjoy. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to enjoy. Your soul will not accept it. כי נוטלים שכרה משלם אחד לפגיעם ונצולים על ידי פגיעם של בושה. So the only thing about pain and suffering is that you will not be ashamed. Now you know where the word bread of shame came from, okay? It came from Aramic, Aramit, it's called Nahima de Ksifa. Nahima, bread, Ksifa, you can say shame, but yeah. Now we make it more complicated. You need to learn the style of Rav Ashlag. It's a very university style, because it doesn't give you the answer yet. It just build you up, until in another 3 pages it will give you the answer. But you're okay with it. You need to memorize what we study. Now we go into a different question. He didn't even go back to the stone. And I have a difficult time with that. He have a difficult time with it. I love his style. Mokshim bot sviv, saviv, saviv. Now it's very, really become difficult. And it's surrounding, and more difficult. Mitchilat kashara, ikar bagabato, mitchilat anu'u, mozart kashara, say, excuse me. But when I pray, when I pray, I say, God, give me from your free treasure gift to me. That's what I'm praying. It's a v'amru. She'otzar matnat chinam. Say, when you pray, you're supposed to pray, God, I want a gift from your free gift from your treasure. מוכנו רק בשביל הנשמות היותר גדולות בעולם. זה כאשר יקרתי חוצם שתרצו שכאשר במתת חלם יצא חסרון גדול. Say, when you receive something for free, there is a terrible thing with it. היינו בוש את הפנים. You will be ashamed with it. אני רוצה לכל מקבל מתת חינם. So every time you receive something free, you will feel uncomfortable. של ההשלמה הזו יחלן. So God gave us this world that there is work with that and suffering and overcoming. כדי שבעולם הבא יתלו את חרם. That what they told us in the upper world, that's when you really get your reward. חלת תחתם ויגיע כפעם. ותירוצם תמוע מאוד. I have a difficult time with this excuse. הלמד זה אדומה, אל אדם אומר לחברו עבור, מרגע אחד בתמורת זה אתן לכם בכל תענוגי העולם, וסכיר אתכם די. I said, what's going on? It's almost like you hire a person, and you tell him work 1 minute for me, and then I pay everything you want for the whole year. There is still bread of shame there. What, for a little bit of earning that I'm doing, I'm getting way more. וכל ימי חייך, שאין לך מדת חינם גדולה בזו. This whole thing is a free gift. משום שהשכר אין לו שום השתוות עם העבודה. The work that we're doing compared to what we're getting is embarrassing. Because we don't do a lot of work to get what we get. שהרי העבודה היא בעולם הזה עולם עובר. If you said that all the gift I'm getting is in עולם הבא, just to let you know, עולם הבא, the next world to come is not just after you die. Some people can experience while they are alive. So next world to come is Bina. And in Bina is like ultimate pleasure. Try to think about the ultimate pleasure you want to feel, but it never stops. Never stop. We don't know pleasure doesn't stop. We know pleasure, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 minute. That's how we think of pleasure. Because we are separate, remember. We are materialized. We are limited. Everything is separation. Everything in our world is separation. Even the pleasure. So say, you promised me the upper world that has endless joy through a little work and suffering in this world. עולם עובר שאין לך כלפי הזכה ואתה לגבי עולם נצחי. שאיזה ערך יש לכמות העולם עובר נגד הכמות העולם נצחי? ואין צריך לומר באיכות ההגיעה שאין בה ערך של כלום. And the quality of my work, how much spiritual work do I do really? How much spiritual work? I stop here, study a little bit, teaching a little bit, study Zohar a little bit. Ah, what an achievement, right? For that, I will get so much reward in the upper world with the quality. And it says that God will give every righteous person who study spirituality, who act in spiritual, who overcome some pain, 310 chambers. That's the gift. ואין לומר שבקצת השכר נותן השם בדרך חלף תרחתם, שם נתת חינם. ומה היו לחמין תרחתם? So you might say, well, he wants you just to start and then everything will give you for free. You cannot say it, because then there's still bread of shame, say Rav Ashlag. Don't like play game with that. Say bread of shame, let's do bread of shame all the way. But if you said to me, you just do 5 minutes work and I give you 1,000 years of reward. שם נתנה, אלא שאין דברים לא מבונים בקשותם אלא יש כאן כוונה עמוקה. I disagree, say Rav Ashlag, that those things are clear and easy. It's got to be a deeper meaning to it, and I'm here to clear it out. And that's what we're going to do next week. I hope you remember, and I hope you take some note. It's a very important class tonight.